I have Dollop tour dates to announce for the year 2024 of our Lord J-Town. We have our 10th anniversary show coming up in Los Angeles on April 27th. Guests are Karen Kilgariff and James Adomian. And then we are going to Australia starting on May 13th in Perth, May 16th in Sydney, May 18th in Brisbane, May 20th in Canberra, May 22nd in Melbourne, and May 24th in Adelaide. You can get your tickets at dolloppodcast.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Pastimes Podcast. Each week we go through an old newspaper from a random date in history picked out by Dave Anthony. I'm Gareth Reynolds, and I've never seen it before, and neither is our guest this week,
Will Anderson. Hello, Will.
Hello, it's nice to be here. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate that you're pretending that this just isn't the dollop. It's very nice that you've gone, what's a good idea for a new podcast? How about the exact same idea as our old podcast,
but we have to do... Not familiar with the
less work.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What if instead of having to write the stories, Dave just read a day of a newspaper instead, but we did exactly the same thing?
So what, you have bugs at our phone? What is it? How do you know? How do you know about these conversations? But honestly, I don't remember that other show you talked about that you compared it to.
I thank you for having me, and that was a very brave position for me to take, a man who has a podcast called Tofop and then a podcast called Fofop, literally, where I barely even changed the letter.
Yeah, you're ripping yourselves off. I should know. Nobody's done it easier than I. It was one day I forgot a little line, and I went, oh. Okay.
That works too.
Yeah, that also could work.
Yeah, literally not even a new letter. Just like a little line.
A line of difference. Yep. You're like, oh, I've got, you know what? That's going to be pretty easy to make a template of too. I feel like we have that on file.
Well, it's nice to be here on the polyp then.
Again, I don't know.
That is not, no,
not
that
even familiar with
not
the comparison.
Make sense at
all. Doesn't ring a bell.
Not with me.
All right, Dave, where are we going? And Will, you might notice that Dave is about to say a date, but irrelevant. Will, irrelevant. He does it in a different way.
Yeah, it's totally different.
What I love
different.
Is you're like, you know what, we'll completely confuse him if Garris does the intro. It's the same podcast.
Will they notice
2 minutes in when Dave yells out a date?
Dave, I'll start doing that part too. We'll show Will. We'll find. This is good. It's good. It's good for us to get these notes. Well, I'll do the research. Fuck it, Will. Fuck you. I'll do the research. That's how bad I want to show him.
That's basically every conversation that everyone who's in QAnon had with somebody at some stage.
Yeah, it's literally. They're like, I can't.
Well, in honor of Will Anderson, we are going to head out of America for this newspaper, and we are going to a little town called Sydney, which is in New South Wales, Australia. And the day is May 9th, Saturday, 1896.
What's the paper?
It is the Sydney Morning Herald.
Oh, wow. So it's been around for... a long time, man. That's cool.
Yeah. It's very
exciting. Okay. So the Sydney Morning Herald, May the 9th, did you say?
Yeah. 1896.
Yeah.
We're like 8 years in at that point, right?
Yeah. Time for a paper. I'll just say yeah, because I have no clue, obviously.
The first page is all like ads and classifieds and like notices.
Oh, so Rupert Murdoch already had his hands on it. Early. He got an early. I didn't know he was that old.
Basically, all the newspapers in Australia were like essentially these old families who have passed them down generation to generation in the will. So, actually, you're not far from the truth. That's not his one, but it would have been some similar other family that is just like, you know what? You know what's good for power back these days? Being able to control the media. I assume in the future, this will be a worthless thing to hand on to the next generation. But as long as they've never had to work for anything themselves and have only a privileged view of the world, I think everything will be fine. Anyway, on with the news. So 1896. So 5 years before the Australian Federation, technically. But
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, we're both going to say that exactly 5 years before the Federation.
Right. So your colonies or what? Yeah.
Yep.
So this, I'll just read
this. This is before Pie Face.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was, of course, how we celebrated, you know, the Federation Day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is, we don't celebrate. The reason you don't know the Federation Date of Australia is that we don't celebrate it because we made the most, like, Australian era of all time, which was that we became federated as a nation on January the 1st. And then there's no Australian that ever wants to do anything on January the 1st. Like,
what?
totally That's... ruined New Year's Eve. And we were just like, you know what? We are not celebrating January 1st. January 26th.
Yeah.
We're sober up by the 26th. That's when we're going to celebrate Australia.
It's really amazing.
Solid planning. You of all the Australians of all people should know.
Well, it was a massive error. I mean, it's a national error to the point where we're so embarrassed we barely talk about the fact that that is our Federation date. We're like, no, dude. I know.
Yeah.
What were we thinking? We didn't realize that we planned our wedding on Super Bowl day. I'm sorry, man.
Honestly.
Well, I'm going to read an ad. Great. Adulteration. Adulteration of food and drink is no more reprehensible than adulteration of tobacco. The three are, like all adultery, dishonest, mean, and very highly injurious. Cigarette smoking is soothing to the nerves and beneficial to the brain, provided the tobacco used is pure and of first quality. Qualifications which will be found in Cameo Cigarettes.
Cameo. Wow. Jesus Christ. That ad took quite a turn. I was like, okay, this is a public service announcement. They're like, smoke. Yeah. Get smart through smoking.
Yeah, Cameo Cigarettes was very much, it was the same brand of Cameo, the video messages now that
it
people
was.
Do for birthdays and shout-outs. That was their original business model, which was various Australian celebrities of the 1890s to appear smoking their cigarettes publicly.
I've ordered you a Cameo. All right, then. Who's that? It's the bloke from the paper. Oh, Christ.
Now, what was the bit about adultery? Like,
adulterous. Yeah. So I guess they're saying that. I mean, it's such a
cheat on your booze. Like, look, Jim, I've been seeing Jack Daniels.
They're saying food and drink is no more reprehensible than the adulteration of tobacco. The three are, like all adultery, dishonest, mean, and very often highly injurious.
And yet, it's an ad for cigarettes.
Mm.
Yeah, and then they go in. And then they go into talking about how pure tobacco is great.
Yeah.
And helps the brain.
But clearly, whoever wrote the ad has been smoking a lot. Clearly sharp.
I mean, I wonder if they're trying to draw a difference between cigarettes and smoking out of a pipe.
Oh, maybe. That's still weird.
I think what they're saying is that we've got the good shit. It's like every bit of like capitalism, right? Yeah. It's like this shit is bad for you, except if you smoke our shit, which is like the good shit. This is good. We've got the pure shit. And like, considering the kind of era that is as well, he's probably on a whole bunch of other pure shit as well.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not just the cigarettes. He's like, you don't need food or alcohol much either because
it's
still legal, guys. Yeah. Have you tried this? As long as you get the pure shit, I think you'll find smoking, drinking, eating, all very adulterous. By the way, I'm currently having sex with my neighbor's wife. I'm committing adultery as I write this.
Purely. So, we have literary gossip in the literary gossip column.
In the literary, wow. Jesus.
Admirers of young Australian story writers will welcome the news that the London publishers, Messrs. Fisher Unwin, are to begin a new series entitled The Little Novels by a tale written by Louise Mack called The World is Round.
Oh, my God. What in the fuck? What is it called? What are the little novels?
Little novels?
It's a new
Books
series.
Books Junior. A new series called Baby Books. Books for ants.
And the first one's called The World is Round.
The World is Round.
Well, I mean, back then, possibly a controversial opinion.
Yeah,
I certainly know now there's a few circles where it's become a controversial opinion.
Oh, it's coming back. Yeah. I would say it's come full circle, but we don't believe in that.
Readers will remember that a short time back, Messrs. Ward Locke opened their new Nautilus series with Ethel Turner's Story of a Baby.
Story? Oh, man, it just used to be so goddamn easy. I mean, come on.
What's your novel called? I don't know. It's just like a story of a baby. Sleep. I slept. I ate.
I'm working on one about how the world's round. Yeah. So we both have very, very controversial angles.
Wait, what's the plot? No, that's the plot.
That's it.
The earth
that's
is
actually
round.
That's everything that's in the book, what I just said. The world is round. Then it's a couple pictures of me and my family.
Yeah. It's not like a whole novel. It's a short novel. It's a new thing.
It's baby books. Novels Junior. One page books.
Okay, so we have a crime. Little crime situation here. Alleged assault on the police 6 years ago.
No, finally. We finally got an approval to go with this story. Finally. Yeah. All right, you know what? Let's run it. Let's get to the bottom of this. Chief, it's been 6 years. All right, let's do it. I mean,
all the breaking news. To be honest, guys, all we had for the front page today was an ad about cigarettes.
That's huge.
And I got to be honest with you, something about tiny novels.
That's great.
Oh,
that's
great. The little novel. Yeah, those are good stories. Little novel people. Yeah.
And then I've got like a murder, maybe a cop killing from 6 years ago.
Yeah. Have you read the book I'm Grass? So good. It's two pages, but it's a ride.
At Newton Police Court yesterday, before Mr. Smithers, James McCallum, age 29, was charged with having on the 2nd of April, 1890, assaulted James Trinder, a senior constable of police of Ashfield. Accused pleaded not guilty. Senior Constable Plunkett arrested the accused early in the morning on the 5th. Accused, when arrested, said to the constables, quote, "Surely they were not going to arrest a man for what he did 7 years ago. If so, he had a good mind to deal with it out to them also."
Oh.
Jesus. I like how
Hard to suggest that you're not guilty after that response, isn't it?
I'll kill you too. I mean, in addition to. I mean, I've never killed, but you'll be my first. I'm that angry.
Yeah, I'm not saying I didn't do it, mate. Clearly I did it, but I did it 7 years ago. Have we not got past that? If you haven't caught me by now, you know what? I'm going to kill you too, you dummy. Yeah. And guess what? I'll get away with it like I did with this one for 7 years. I'm feeling pretty confident about my abilities to get away with murdering cops.
Hey, what was that first right you said to the right to remain, huh? He also added a year, which is just the subtle great little lie. Well, you know, it's 6 years. He's like, it's been 7 years.
Yeah, he added killed a year another cop that year. He's killed two cops a year in a row.
I had to. It's Federation Day.
He's also talking in the third person when they come to get him.
Oh, that's how you know you've really lost.
Come on. You wouldn't really arrest some guy who did something 7 years ago. Also, this guy might kick your ass right now.
this guy's getting pretty pissed off.
And that is a good point. It has started as a hypothetical guy, hasn't it? That's how this conversation's gone down. He's gone, like, this guy, like, this is his OJ's if I did it. It's like, if this guy, say I knew this guy, and 7 years ago, and then maybe again 6 years ago, and one you haven't even found yet, he killed some cops. Okay. And then he got away with it for 6 or 7 years, and you came knocking on this guy's door, and you're some cops, and he hasn't done some good killing for a while. What do you think this guy might respond like in that situation?
I'm not saying it's me. What? Just because I describe my outfit as what the guy might hypothetically be wearing. Lord.
Here's a headline. Attempted suicide. Wow. At the Water Police Court yesterday, before
water
Mr. Giles...
We mainly deal with fish crime. We are... right now we're dealing with a grouper who lied about some coral. So, you know, it's a water court. It's a water-based court. So that's what we prosecute.
Coral quarrels and...
Yeah, then we deal with coral quarrels, a lot of that stuff. And I just wanted to be clear. So if you have gills, go down further. Thank you. All right.
Excuse me. Is this the air court?
No, air court. Air court's near the airport. This is the water court.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And there's regular court, too.
That explains the seahorses out front. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. No problem, by the way. Nice guy.
at the water police.
So we have water police in Australia. Do you have water police in the US? Surely you have like a Coast Guard or something.
Oh, okay.
Coast Guard. You call the water police.
Water police.
Like you use the term that like a child would use.
I mean, Dave, we have to understand that all terms are crazy and you're born into it. But I have to say, water police is very adorable. It's like, well, what are we going to call them? Yeah, I mean, they're the police on the bloody water, so we call them the bloody, well, they're the water police. Water police. All right, water, you're under arrest. What did I do? You know what you did? You divided hydrogen. Get over here, you son of a bitch.
A very popular Australian television show for years. Like it's like a serial drama television show.
Water Police.
Was set in the Water Police.
Oh, and my God.
Is this true? Yes. No. Whoa, yes. This is the podcast.
And the show was called Water Rats. That was the name
I can't. What is happening?
So it was a very popular show, and I think they were like
water rats.
Yeah, so I think that they were like it was on for I'm going to say 5 years, right? So it was on for 5 years, and it probably did like 40 episodes a year. So it was like a big show, right?
Wow.
And it did amazingly. It was set on Sydney Harbour. And they were like the water police who would like, you know, go around and solve harbor-based crimes and dramas.
Harbor-based crimes.
All it is the cops pull up and go, hey, mate, you drinking? And the guy's like, yeah, I'm having a beer. All right.
Well, much like Aquaman, they had to sort of artificially engineer the new water scenario in every...
They were probably like, look, no more drownings. I told you, we're done. There have been 50 of the episodes.
I think there was a lot more sort of international drug smuggling and kidnapping plots and intrigue and stuff that is generally making the Sydney Morning Herald.
Oh, water police! Sorry,
I've been keeping the water clean for 10 years now.
That's it. I'm putting you on the land force, Chief. No,
you're a land boy, Tompkins.
You son of a bitch.
At the water police court yesterday, before. Mr. Giles, Rose Judge was ordered to be imprisoned until the rising of the court for attempting to commit suicide by strangling herself while confined in a cell at the Manly lockup. So she's
in prison and she's been recharged for attempting suicide while in prison.
Let's also note that she tried to strangle herself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, sure. You know,
I hear what you're saying, man. That's a conspiracy. I know what you're saying. They tried to get her. She knows too much.
Yeah.
That's right. The water cops are trying to take this. Why? Because the water cops are dirty, man. They're dirty.
She might have just been drowning. She's underwater, after all.
I don't think their prisons and stuff were also underwater, to be fair.
I wish we could all enter my mind palace right now because it's amazing what's happening as far as this water police court goes. It's just, it's pretty animated.
So we have another death. The death of the diver Pert, the inquest.
What?
Pert? The city coroner... Mr. J.C. War held an inquest at St. Vincent's Hospital yesterday afternoon on the body of the man Charles Pert, who received fatal injuries on the previous night while diving at the Fitzgerald Brothers Circus from the dome of the tent into a tank of water.
Oh, God. Ooh. So he did the classic move. I mean, yeah. You would anticipate this going wrong a lot more.
Now, hang on. So is he, like, does it extrapolate on whether he is, like, a professional circus performer who's, like, doing his stunt? Yep. Or is he a drunk Australian who's just climbed up on top of the circus dome?
Will's investigative Australian hand going as he's like, yep, yes, this man is not...
Yeah, both of your questions will immediately be answered.
By the way, if he gets injured, he can file a lawsuit in water court. Well,
unless he hit outside of
Unfortunately, Your Honor, the injury took place outside of the tank.
I mean, I love the idea too of like everybody there at the circus, like, you know, the body's in the, you know, it, like drowned in the middle of it, like the cops are there. And then suddenly, like in those FBI shows where the FBI turn up, it's like suddenly the water police are like, sorry, mate, this is our job.
This is our jurisdiction.
You land cops back the fuck up because this is an on-water matter.
Fully go underwater for 30 minutes. They're talking under there. I don't know. They're crazy. They have gills.
One of the proprietors of the circus deposed that the deceased was a single man about 24 years of age, a native of England. Pert was of temperate habits and was also known as Professor Pert, the champion high diver.
Well, it's time to revoke the degree.
The circus performance took place as usual on Thursday night. The last item on the program was the dive of the deceased from a height of about 50
Wait, they
feet.
Didn't call it the dive of the deceased, did
yes,
they?
Yes, they did.
No, shut the fuck up. No.
It's time for the dive of the deceased.
That would be amazing. You know what you got it.
Honestly, I mean, it was on the ticket. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, we treat Pert. We got enough. We Pert's like Lassie to the circus. We got nine of them.
I mean, I think, yeah, you've got to have a whole bunch of Perts. Like, oh, you just got to have Perts out the back, like that. You because that is the greatest show on earth back then.
Yeah.
You can be guaranteed that.
Oh. Are you kidding me? They had nothing. To be like, you want to go see a guy die? You'd be like, boy, do I. Nothing I want more than to watch a fella pass away.
And I know that that sounds like a judgment on that era, but we watch people die all the time.
Totally dissensitive,
right?
I know.
Like
yeah.
hundreds and thousands of people a year we happily yeah. watch die, like yeah. in one John Wick film every year. And yeah. Yeah. like, and celebrate it. But back then, they just weren't seeing that level of watching people die. So if the circus came to town and said, by the way, every single thing we do in this circus, someone dies. Like, we have one of the line tamers. It's his first day. He dies. High dive. He dies.
It's the high die.
Eight clowns get out of the cart. We have to drag a couple of bodies out. They got crushed by the other clowns.
So he dove in a height of about 50 feet into a tank containing 3 feet, 6 inches of water.
Oh my God. Okay.
It was about 8 feet long and about 6 feet wide.
Okay.
So witnesses had the tank filled, and afterwards more water was put into it, as that depth of water must have been about 4 feet. So now they're just like, it was probably, they're just kind of making it up as they go.
Oh, I thought you were saying they added water after he died.
The reporter's like, it's probably around 4 feet.
So it's not that crazy.
I mean, 4 feet does not seem like enough water.
It's not enough water. No.
To like.
No. To jump.
Have a bath
50
in,
feet?
Really?
Yeah,
let alone
honestly,
dive in.
Yeah, I'd be like, I can't swim in this. Why did you invite me over?
After Pert had examined the tank, he was pulled up to the platform, which had also been fixed under his supervision. Uh-huh. On the platform, he said that the tank looked small, but that was only professional talk to cause more sensation.
He said that?
Yeah.
So he's just showboating. He's like, I don't know. That doesn't look like enough. It'll be fine. And then he almost dies. And the guy he's talking to is like, wait, what? Jesus.
Deceased jumped off as usual, but evidently misjudged his distance, as in his descent, he struck the side of the tank and then struggled struggled over into the water. He cares,
like,
about his job.
I don't get paid unless I hit the water.
unless I'm in the water at the end.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine just watching a guy jump from 50 feet?
I just admire his professionalism. Like,
I mean, yeah.
As if he thinks no one's going to notice. Like,
that's good. Yeah, yeah. He's like, edit it out. Just cut to me in the water.
His last words were, this is going to be investigated by the water cops if it's the last thing I do.
As he's crawling in there, he just whispers to the ringmaster, you think they noticed?
I mean, it feels like, you know, when some gymnast has been training all their life, gets to the Olympics and like does all the trick and then just stumbles like one little bit on that landing, but still tries to smile and throw their hands in the air as if like, no, no, you definitely didn't notice that last bit where I fucked up like 8 years of my life. That was this dude.
And that's just like a foot being off a touch. This guy literally jumped 50 feet into ground.
That was like,
what did the Germans give me?
Wait, well, he kind of did do that. Deceased managed to get out by himself and stand up, and two witnesses who gave him his hand, he said that he would soon be all right. He was then
I want that to be my last words. I think I'll be all right.
I'll walk this off.
I think I'll be all right. Yeah, at least I got to the water. Yeah. I get the bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
He was then removed to the dressing room.
To the dressing room backstage, sir. Please, yes. Please take me backstage to unwind after the performance. I want to get out of character for a minute. No visitors. My organs are bleeding. I'll be in the dressing room. Yeah, just knock if anyone needs me. I'll be in there dying. Don't mind me. Just put the sign up that says currently dying.
Dr. McCarthy was summoned, and he recommended his removal to St. Vincent's Hospital. Deceased was accordingly taken to that institution, where he died shortly after.
Oh, my God. I mean, the order. Oh, fucking A, man. That is. That's how you used to train employees. Finish the job, no matter what, as you're crawling to a water tank.
I mean, it's almost a great trick that he survived that.
You like, know it's almost, what?
I mean, I know he didn't eventually, but the fact that he was able to, like, well, get in the pool, out of the pool, like, it's like, you're absolutely right. He's like, I got to finish this. Like, look, yeah, I nailed the dive. Look, the landing was a little rough. But,
not on me. I said it looked tiny. I told you it looked tiny, didn't I?
Turns out it was. I've got in the water. I'm out of the water. Oh. I'll be in my dressing room.
Oh, my God. I just can't imagine going to an event and just watching a guy just jump from fifth. You'd just be like, what did I just see?
Yeah. Mommy, holy, is he supposed to bleed from all his holes?
Well, he got in the water, so I think he must have intended it. Looks like he planned it pretty well.
I mean, again, like, what is that conversation? Like, on the, you know what I mean? On the way home?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
that
man
all
right? Oh, yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. It's part of the show.
He really hit hard, and he looked like he's in a lot of pain.
That's all part of it.
It's just all part of the trick.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because he was... There's a lot of blood coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, well, that's just part of the fun show thing that they do.
Why'd he get in the water? I guess if any part you didn't need, it'd be that.
Okay, I don't have an explanation for that.
Everything else worked pretty well. No notes outside of the water move.
Would have been even better if he got in the water and then like made a splash.
He does a fake dive in the water. God. I mean, I can't. It's so fucked up, but it's because it's a while ago. It feels okay to mock dead people.
It is. Well, because like, he'd be dead of natural causes by now, regardless. Yeah, so, like, the statute of limitations.
I love when they do that. They're like, James Dean would have been 140 today. You're like, can we stop this already? Like, we get it. He died.
Yeah. He would have been just saying, please.
He's not here
please,
anymore. Like, yeah.
This is inhuman. Let me die.
This is a test. This is torture.
Elvis Presley. I've been in a toilet by myself for 35 years. Please let me die.
Elvis Presley would have been 99 today. I don't see him making it there. His trajectory felt like no.
Elvis would have been 99 today if his heart hadn't exploded in a toilet.
If by natural causes, lifespan, they're dead already, it is fine to make fun of people. But
I agree, especially on this one. We're talking about
an era at this point where, like, you could kill a cop 6 years ago and be well over.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I'm ready
that's
to do
fair.
It again, man.
That's fair. That's
yeah, that's right.
It's very fair. Fair point.
Here's
I'll
a palate cleanser.
That one really got me. I'm not going to lie, Dave. That one has really hit home with me.
That's amazing.
I mean, again, I don't want to make some commentary on the way that the Sydney Morning Herald's been putting together their paper, but I would have led with that. That's your story.
I'm buying that paper. I'm buying that paper.
I don't want to have to be digging through some cigarette advertising and some, like,
I mean,
some
that,
little
that
novel
was on,
about the world being round.
Yeah.
That was on page 6.
That's absurd. It's the, it's, I would say it's the best, not the best, but it's the comedically ripest story we've heard on the show.
That's the whole front page. If I'm making this paper, that's the whole front
page.
That's
the name of the page. It's the, he missed the tub times.
I might even, I would change the paper name after that. I'd be like, yeah, where the, he missed the change.
We're still doing stories on that. We're still doing stories on that.
I'm sad that I don't know about this, that this isn't some, like, famous Australian story about, like, this dude.
Yeah.
Maybe it just happens so commonly that people didn't even think it was worth mentioning and passing on to further generations, but this is such an interesting story.
Hey, we actually aren't going to teach his story, it turns out. It's not
a good
idea.
It'd be a great movie. I want to know all about this dude. Like, how he got his nickname, the professor. Like, you tell the early years of the professor. Yeah. Like, even that as a diver's nickname, it's not two things that traditionally go together.
Well, like, then I like...
hey, hang on.
Then I like
the
idea that he's like
got a PhD.
He's like at MIT, like drawing out all the perfect like diagram. Like it needs to be if it's this high, that's enough, and if it's 3 feet 6 inches, that's plenty of water. Everything will go. And then it's the first time he does it, and he's like, "Oh God, that was took 8 years of planning." He's dead. He died. Holy shit! That was what a waste of an existence. He was the professor. That's crazy.
Palate cleanser. Australia has many capes. There's Cape Lewin, there is Cape Borda, Cape Nelson, Cape Otway, and Cape York. But the most suitable capes for the season are to be seen at Waters, corner of George and King Streets. Here are silk velvet capes and silk creep-on crepes and capes in Carly cloth, beaver cloth, and frieze cloth, all handsomely lined and beautifully and stylishly trimmed. They are of the correct medium length. And the prices, as is usual with us, are moderate.
Was Australia like... go ahead.
The correct medium length? Is that
yes, the correct...
like, I love that. They're all the correct... Not we only have one size. They're all the correct medium length like, for a cape. Like, but despite the fact that if you're tall or short, how can anything be medium in a cape? Surely, right?
Well, you got to go to big and tall capes if you want a weird one. I mean, that is... I mean, it sounds like The Tick. Like, everyone's got a cape. Everyone's just walking around like they're broken down superhero. I'm Chugga Point, man. Have you met Aquaman? Yeah, he died at the circus the other night. Yeah, that's right. It's true.
Okay, capes. So it was an era where, but also what I loved was that they had to, classic old advertising, get us in with like an absolute distraction, which Australia's known for its famous capes and naming a whole bunch of capes. You're like, we do have a lot of good capes, actually. These are good capes. Oh, hang on. Now he's got me thinking about actual
shift.
Capes.
Wait a minute, this bastard. They'll switcheroo. Like, that's like the kangaroo, but trickier.
Oh, yeah, when you're in the Australian bush, you got to watch out for the switcheroo.
The switcheroo kangaroo. Oh, my wife! She's a kangaroo! I pulled the switcheroo kangaroo on you, mate.
Here's a letter to the editor. Sir, I am very pleased to see that some steps are being taken to put a stop to what is becoming the common thing of riding bicycles at nighttime without lights. This sort of thing is not only dangerous to other people, it is dangerous to the cyclists themselves. But I certainly do not hold with the authorities in prosecuting a young fellow for, quote, passing a pedestrian without ringing a bell.
Wow. This feels like a Green Guides letter episode.
Yeah,
oh my
I don't.
God.
So, what I like at the start is it's your typical letter to the editor. It's just like an older person complaining about teenagers riding their bikes at night. So, good to see nothing's changed there. But then there's a bit of a twist at the end where he kind of like defends the teen, right? He's like, but the cops shouldn't like arrest this young dude because he didn't ring his bell as he was passing a pedestrian. Is that what's happening here?
That's what's happening, yeah. He's saying people should use lights when they ride at night, but...
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
You shouldn't arrest people for ringing a bell as they go by. So without guy, ringing the bell. Without
right.
ringing.
Oh, yeah, not ringing the bell. It was the law to ring the bell as you yes. pass by a pedestrian for safety reasons.
You imagine living at a time when the law was to ring the bell?
Yeah. Like, but also that you literally, it was an enforceable by arrest law. Yeah. Not that, you know what I mean? Like, this yeah. is what we're
I'll
hearing.
Kill you. I'll kill you. I killed another cop 7 years ago. Fuck the bell.
Imagine if that's what he was arrested for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, like, I don't care. I'm going to murder you.
Yeah. I have a solution. How about I wring your neck?
Yeah.
Well, the bell stuff is going to go on for a while. Oh, boy. This seems to me highly ridiculous. And it is very evident that those who prosecute for this know nothing of bicycle riding. After considerable experience, I do not hesitate to say that using alarm bells does more harm than good. It frightens alarm? People too much.
Wait, okay. So he so is...
Yeah, okay. So what I love, this is classic, I'm an expert letter to the editor. As yes. an expert cyclist myself, like, you know, that has been purely established by me in this letter, as an expert in bikes, it's alarm bells, right? Is that what you were worried about, the alarm bells going?
Yeah. It's, I mean, is he just sort of... stream I mean, of consciousness
yeah
writing a letter he's like speaking of bells, like he's got like bad stand-up segues, he's like speaking of bells, those alarm bells are pretty useless too. And what's with being alarmed? That's a weird emotion, isn't it? God, emotions are weird. Aren't emotions weird? Kids have good emotions. I just had a kid recently. Yeah, he's got a computer. I just bought a new computer.
It is only in rare cases that a cyclist runs dangerously close to pedestrians, and then a bell is of no use whatsoever. When riding in the street and a person is crossing, a cyclist never hesitates to ease up, let the person cross, and then pass quietly along without creating any fuss or startling anybody by ringing a bell, which only gives a folk a severe nervous shock at best.
So, wow. I mean, talk about
he's
notes.
Real anti-bell, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
He started at the start of, like, you shouldn't ride your bike at night, but these bells.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I hate bells. I hate bells. It must be a hunchback.
Accidents will happen between cyclists as between other people, but bells will not obviate nor minimize them. Furious riding. And riding
now he's just
lights.
Writing what he's doing. Furious writing, like I am. What the fuck? This is out of body. I'm watching myself do this. I think I died.
Furious writing and writing without lights, there is no excuse for, but to be presented for not sounding a bell is absurd. R.D. Werner.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure the next paper has a response. To Mr. R.D. Werner and his bell nonsense. Bells save lives, sir.
I mean, his complaint is so nuanced that
oh my God.
It's like it's difficult in these times to translate the level of... I mean, he's coming up with like Fight Club rules for the bell.
Yeah, but it is also very much what we've been going through at the moment, because this is somebody saying, like, the government's come down. Big governments come down and said, you know what?
Yeah.
If you're going to ride your bikes around, you're going to have to ring a bell. The bells aren't for you. We know you're doing a good job, but they're just to alert the other pedestrians, be a little safer in public. All you got to do, we're not saying don't ride your bikes. All we're saying is when you're riding your bikes and you see a pedestrian, give them a little ding ding. That just lets them know.
You hate freedom. You hate freedom. Ring a bell. Oh, I thought we were an independent nation. We left the monarchy for a reason.
Well, we haven't quite yet at this point.
Yeah, they haven't done that.
Well,
but by all means, hang in there. They're so great.
When we do, which is eventual.
Here's a special advertisement.
Wow.
The late Sir Henry Parkes, to each subscriber of the Sydney Mail for the present week, May 9th, will be presented a large and splendid portrait of the late Sir Henry Parkes, printed as a supplemental on specialty good thick paper for the purpose of framing.
Oh, this paper's nice and thick. This is thick paper.
I don't know what's happening. So you subscribe to the Mail and then you get a
picture of this guy. A good one, though. Not some bullet one that you can frame.
Well, so Parkes was the governor of New South Wales, I think.
Okay.
And like so yeah, he was like a kind of prominent leader of the time. Looked a lot like, again, I've only ever seen like, you know, drawings of him and stuff, right? But like
Was it on thick paper? Because then you could have framed that, just so you know.
He looks a lot like, you know, when, well, like David Letterman looks now. He had that real big white, like kind of white gray beard that just kept going longer than you thought it should.
Right. Okay. Oh, who doesn't want to picture that guy? I know in my living room, I have an enormous picture of David Letterman printed on good, thick paper. Not the bullshit paper. Legit.
You got that
It's like printing it on. It's like tree bark.
You got that from the San Francisco Chronicle, right?
Yes.
I just Googled a picture of Sir Henry Parkes, and he had more hair than Letterman, but like same sort of beard. But this is his like sort of, they call him the father of federation. He was one of the guys who said, like, basically the six colonies of Australia should come together and become an actual country. So, yeah. So, like, you know, so I think at that time, if we're talking this period of time, Australia's about to become federation. He's one of the leading proponents of it. I'm getting a kind of Bernie Sanders flavor. Do you know what I mean?
Wow. Like, okay.
You know
what
I mean? I'm feeling like he's the sort of guy who's suddenly like, you know, we should be doing this thing together. We'd be working better together. Some people are like, you know what? Maybe I am a Parksy bro.
Yeah.
Maybe I would like a framed picture of my idol on the wall.
Right. That's right.
All right. Well, that makes more sense then. All right, Dave, we'll both take one. Put us both down for one of those.
You're both down. Here's just a little section of, it's just like blurbs of international stuff. James Stansberry, the sculling champion of the world, has arrived in London to row the English champion. Must be champion. He had an enthusiastic reception. During the voyage from Sydney, he gained 28 pounds in weight.
Wow. What?
What in the fuck just happened? What was it? Were they just eating penguins on there? That's fatty.
You know it took like 6 months or something to get there, right?
Still.
And it was just like on a boat.
I guess. Like, I mean, sure.
It's not like, but... like they had gyms and stuff back in the day. I mean,
that's a lot of weight.
I mean, he's a rower. They could have occasionally dangled him off the back of the boat and he could have like,
something.
Just done a bit of rowing.
Or maybe
exercise,
just a trot. A walk wouldn't hurt. A little walk around the ship, maybe.
But I don't know if that's like, you know, back in those days, it wouldn't have been.
He was probably smuggling drugs. That's what it was. That's the only way you gain 26 pounds. It's transporting. And by the way, that's a crime for the water police. back in.
It was like 100 days.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
100 days. 100 days, it says. Yeah.
But, so like, think three, if I told you, months. Think if I said to you right now, put on 28 pounds in 3 months. I mean, you'd do it pretty easily, but you would be like, there's no diet here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what I love the most is that he's going over there to compete in a sporting event.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're an ordinary tourist,
whatever.
I'm not here to body shame you. Yeah. Go to the buffet every morning. You're on a boat. You know, like, what are you going to do, right?
It's a cruise,
But if you're going over there to compete in a sporting event, which is not about rowing.
You might want to do some, what about some sit-ups on the ship?
Showing up.
Was there no one? I mean, because this is the thing. It's not like there's, you know, Instagram or he's doing like live updates or anything like that. So they put this champion Australian rower on a boat in Australia going, we're going to take it up back to the home country and you're going to compete against the best British rower in the world and you're going to smash him. And then he gets off the boat and he's put on that much.
And they're like, all right, where is he? Excuse me, sir. Where's that rower at?
All they had was butter.
Good for you, man. Right, you look a little bit like him. Maybe you're a relative. We're looking for a rower. Jacked. He's a machine.
All I have is butter.
Is there any... Sorry, stop.
Over here.
Weird guy. He's talking about butter a lot. Why are you out of breath? You just walked that, like, 4 feet.
Oh, my God. All I have is butter.
What are you talking... Are there any other people on the boat? Because it seems like it's just... Putting your hand up. Put your hand down. It's exhausting you. Champ.
I'm a champ.
Oh, my God.
Sculling.
Pardon my... look, I'll be honest. I'm going to look to camera for this. We're going to need a bigger boat.
Is there not anybody else on that boat that's with him? Is there not like a coach or like somebody sort of, who's just like,
chaperone of some sort is like, hey, buddy, you know, it's like an athletic event.
Like, we're going to literally put you on a boat water.
Yeah.
It's something that, again, I'm not here to eat what you want, put on weight, lose weight. I'm not making judgments in people's lives. But literally, surely there's just some sort of buoyancy issue. Surely they've got like a standard. Well, if you're putting together a rowboat, you need to know what the people who are going to weigh in the rowboat, right?
You're on a boat. I mean, if there's the training is there. It's a boat. Rope some of it. It's not, I mean, you're like, wow, what would I possibly do to train? All we have is this boat and water. Well, what do you do? You gotta row boats on water. I think we're pretty close to solving this. I mean, he got there, he's like, I don't know, I guess if I'm not rowing them, I'm just eating. It turns out they never had cupcakes on the rowboat. Good thing, too, because fucking A, do I get an appetite on sea?
He treated it like Robert De Niro getting ready for a fat guy part.
He's like, he's on a carnival cruise. He's like, I had a lot of lobster last night. What else you guys got?
Or I like, maybe there's an even, I'd like to think he's done this on purpose. Like, he is so confident of winning this event.
Oh, yeah.
This is like, he wants to walk off the boat and just, just
licking his fingers. Right, where's the rice? He's still got a bib on. He's got like blueberries all around his mouth and powdered sugar. Right. And what dies the rice then? It's in an hour. Oh, crap. So now that I'm bloody full. Just drinking champagne. Oh, Christ. What did you do for the last 3 months? Oh, hey.
I mean, you're probably right in what you've just like stumbled on there too. It probably wasn't just eating. It was probably drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is an Australian sports person going overseas. Yeah. There is a very famous, like, lauded in Australia story about a cricketer by the name of David Boone, who's from Tasmania. And it's, legend that on the way to England, on the flight to England to play in the Ashes, which is, the biggest sporting event that basically Australian sport has, playing England in the Ashes. So this is sort of the equivalent journey. Like, he drank 52 cans of beer on the flight from Australia to England.
Oh, my God.
And basically had to be carried off at the other end, but it's become this legendary Australian story. But it turns out Boone's doing old material, because I think old mate the rower has been drinking.
I
mean, he had the off season on the ride to the event. It's like, no, you swap that.
All right, so this is in the same sort of section, but at the Intercontinental Fruit Conference, which has been sitting at Auckland this week.
Abby's speaking about berries. The banana.
This week, a delegate from Queensland is reported as having quoted statistics to show that the proportion per head of the population of fruit consumed in the colonies was ridiculously small. The statement is not new to us, of course, and yet it seems to conflict with the complaints of fruit growers that the market is being oversupplied with locally grown fruit, unless we fall back on the explanation that Australians are not a fruit-eating people.
Okay.
Are you guys a fruit-eating people?
Well,
I think we are a fruit-eating people.
Well, let's go on.
That's new. That's new.
We have giant. We have like giant bananas, big banana, the big pineapple. We like make statues out of fruit. We celebrate.
Sounds like it's what we call overcompensating.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. Well,
the right. nation protests too much.
The paper seems to agree with you. This seems so absurd, a conclusion in face of the frequent complaints of the difficulty of obtaining good table fruit at moderate prices, and also
table fruit.
Come also, on. Also in view of the fact that during many months of the years, ours is a climate distinctly favorable to the consumption of fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's summer. You have like a get yourself a mango or pineapple. Yeah. And some berries.
Yeah, I mean, it seems easy. That's what this guy's right. saying. He's like, for the love of God, how is really good.
The common experience of every individual is against the conclusion that we are not a fruit-eating people. If we can get fruit fit to be eaten, and we are therefore forced to think that the difficulty in the way is the key to the phenomenon, which Mr. Blink has called attention.
This is probably being written by a pineapple. It's that on the nose.
It goes on and on. I'm not going to read it anymore because it just keeps going on and on about fruit.
And another thing, tomato's not a fruit.
I think very offended by the fact that he thinks Australia has an international reputation as not being fruit eaters. That's, I think, the issue at the heart of this.
We've all been laughing about that for a while. It's very like funny.
We don't understand. We eat a lot of fruit here, like bananas, Queensland, really big thing, really big industry in Australia.
Not to this guy. And another thing about table fruit is going to be a thing I'm going to be saying. No matter where I am, if someone puts it on the table, I'm going to be like, that's not table fruit.
I think there was higher standards for table fruit back in the day.
Yeah,
you know?
I bet there was, yeah. It was your show fruit.
Right, yeah. If other people are going to come over and see my fruit.
Yeah, you want to have like stalks. Exotic. Yeah, not just the thing of apples. Those are kitchen fruits. That's the bedroom fruit, the apple. It's delicious.
You got any bathroom fruits?
This is a rower who's staying with us for a little while. It's just not been easy. It's like a hog in man skin.
Just something for the toilet when I'm sitting there.
All right, here you go. Here's some strawberries, you fetishist. Oh yeah.
Here's an interesting one. Funeral tickets. That's the headline.
I got two. Two tonight to the Johnson funeral. Natural causes. Two. I got two of them.
It will be remembered that last session of Parliament, Mr. S.T. Witten brought before the Assembly the fact that funeral tickets issued to people too poor to pay had the word pauper endorsed upon them.
What?
Mr. Witten has been informed by the Colonial Secretary that the practice has been discontinued and the present stock of tickets withdrawn. So, does that mean you got a ticket to get buried?
No.
Or that
one, please. Thank you. I mean, yeah. But
excuse me, I got mine says Papa. I wanted
that's back row. I'll have an usher take you there.
I wanted something up front.
I'm afraid not. No, no.
I'm a really good weeper.
No, well, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on you when Weep Cam goes around. Remember, do the wave. There's a beach ball we're going to be knocking to each other too randomly. So just if it lands on you, knock it back up. It's just kind of a greater good sort of thing.
It's really got to be that it's for people who couldn't afford a funeral, so they would give them a ticket.
I appreciate it, Dave.
Did Australia have tickets to funerals? This is amazing.
Sunday. Ted died.
I mean, I guess popular funerals. I mean the professor. That would have been a big funeral.
Huge.
People want to see the rest of the show. That's going to be, you're going to need a ticket to that funeral.
And then it would be great if you were push him into the water, but when you push him into the water for that funeral, just falls over and hits a cliff.
It's.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Not again.
In a way, I think this is what he would have wanted. I think he would have wanted this in a really weird way. I think someone just move it into the water. Move. It's fine. Nobody will notice. Trust me, it's fine. I'm still, I can't get over that one. I'll think about that in a few days and be like, I mean, it's just amazing.
I'm the professor.
I mean, just come on, man. I mean, he's 50 feet in the fucking air calling himself the professor. He hits land and he crawls into water and then goes back to the dressing room.
Another great day for the professor.
Glass dismissed. His blood's coming out of his eyes. Glass dismissed. It's fine.
That's why they call me the professor.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. Jess Pyle.
We got another suicide. Supposed attempted suicide. Jay Galbelt Boucher and a medical practitioner residing at Redfern yesterday went into a lavatory at Prince Alfred Hospital. A few minutes after, a warder found him with a deep wound in his throat, as if inflicted by a penknife found in his possession. On Sunday last, he received a fractured skull in some mysterious manner while asleep in his house.
Well, that is
the wound in the throat is not of a dangerous character.
What? How did he injure his head sleeping? I was dreaming I was a nail.
They literally just threw that in as like an afterthought. Like, oh, this guy tried to kill himself with a penknife. By the way, he fractured his skull while sleeping.
Sleeping.
It's tough. It maybe explains why he wanted to take his own life, though. Yeah. I mean, he had a fractured skull. If you're living a life where just in the act of sleeping you can fracture your skull, maybe you do want to just end it all.
Plus a 1900 fractured skull, a lot different to a 2021 fractured skull. I mean, surely you were like, well, that's not good. They were like, your brain is coming out around it, and that's fine for the time. You might feel like, a little down.
Yeah. Do you know what the solution to this is? And he's like, no. And they're like, no, not us either, but we're just asking people in the hope
that... asking people if they have any solutions. It's where we're at medically.
On?
Yes.
We suggest you put a hat on.
We suggest this medical hat. It's a bowler. Isn't that great? Look at that. You're like a marguerite. All right. Anyway, we'll see you later. Good luck.
Please accept this complimentary penknife.
Remember us. We're the hat people. Hats. They solve everything.
Melbourne Friday, a man named Frank Wardle, who was picked up in an unconscious condition outside the Melbourne Coffee Palace on Thursday morning.
Dave, what do you think of the Melbourne Coffee Palace? Surely you like that coffee.
Well, first of all, we know Sydney coffee is better. Coffee Wars. It's Melbourne and Sydney on Coffee Wars.
You shouldn't have a palace.
That's what I wanted.
Thank you. And who had fallen... Okay, so this is amazing. He was picked up in an unconscious condition outside the Melbourne Coffee Palace... And who had fallen from a window 60 feet above the pavement.
I missed the tub.
He was actually trying to dive into a tub of coffee. A giant flat white. And he would dive into it.
I don't know. A venti's not a good idea. I'll try.
He regained consciousness today, but was unable to explain how the accident happened.
Oh, wow.
Well, his spine is terribly injured, and his case is considered hopeless.
Wow. Can you imagine a doctor being like, his spine, medically speaking, your spine's terrible. We'd call you hopeless, medically speaking. You see this here?
Can you just write hopeless on his chart?
We recommend a hat. We recommend two different hats for you. You got a morning hat and a night hat, okay? Well, we just want to make sure we get this thing right. So two hats, just to be safe. We're going to flood the head.
You know, your roommate here, he jumped in a circus tent 50 feet down and just hit land also.
No. To be fair, I actually landed in the water if you look closely. If you look real close, you'll notice that it only looked like that for a second, but I hit the water.
Oh, holy shit. Are you the professor?
But unfortunately they took away my honorary degree.
I just love that they didn't start with the fact that he he jumped out a window. They started the fact that they found him unconscious on the
sidewalk. We found a man unconscious. A bit of a mystery. We think it has something to do with a fall off a building. Not sure.
I do like the idea of the three of them being in hospital together. You say the guy's jumped off the coffee palace.
Yeah.
The guy from the circus. Yeah. And the dude who just fractured his skull in his sleep.
Yeah.
Because he does not have
it's a like, story at all. It's a comforting image from the Three Stooges.
Well, the guy who fractured his skull in his sleep.
It's still shenanigans in the hospital beds, too. You better believe it.
But he sounds like he was a doctor. He was a medical practitioner, so he could actually be taking care of him.
Oh, well.
I get it, guys. I once. you'll notice from this hat that I myself have received head trauma.
Yeah, if I remove the hat, you'll notice that it sort of looks like I've got puzzle pieces in a bag. That's my skull and my skin.
This happened on Melbourne Friday.
Yeah,
the inquiries made by the police into the Auburn poisoning case have altogether failed to clear up the mystery as to how the poisoned lollies, which nearly caused the death of four members of the Whiffen family, came to be introduced into the house.
Wow.
What's crazy is we've only done like six episodes. This is like the second or third poisoned lolly story.
Yeah. Really?
We've done this before. There have been poisoned lollipops before.
Yeah. It's a fun theme. Really? By the way, not worth it. It seems like just move in another direction. People are like, but the lolly.
I mean, it just maybe, like, there is copycats in these situations, right? Somebody hears about a case of somebody poisoning someone with lollipop. They're like, you know what? I got some people I want to poison.
Yeah.
I got access to lollipops.
Right, yeah. It's Breaking Bad, but with pops.
Yeah.
I wish there was some sort of example of copycat things in America, but I can't think of.
No. Yeah.
Here's in the wanted section. Old artificial teeth bought.
Oh, fucking
highest price.
I need
price
to take
given.
An ad out for an old teeth. Okay, sir, that's cool. The police are just gonna need to talk to you for a little while. So if you could step in this tank, they're the water cops.
Oh my God, this is at 145 Bathurst.
Are you the guy looking for old teeth? Boy, that ad came at the right time for me. I'm flush. I'm loaded. I'm swimming in them. You never seen so many. It looks like I beat up an old folks home. How much you want a tooth? I'm doing tooth for one specials. Come on down to the Tooth Emporium, the House of Teeth. Woo-hoo!
We promise the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but
nothing but the tooth. So help me God! Oh man! I mean, can we ask what you need the teeth for? Nope.
No.
All right. Nope's the answer to that question.
We promise. That's our guarantee.
No.
We ask no questions.
No follow up questions.
The best teeth in town and no follow-up questions. Two guarantees.
Two guarantees. We guarantee it.
Adoption. Will some person take girl 5, boy 7?
Oh my God,
years of age,
they're not lazy boys.
No premium.
No. Do you accept teeth?
Will someone please? Oh, please. These children.
Could you imagine?
I gotta look. I've liked them for 5 or 6 years, but I gotta be honest with you. I am sick of these children. What are we gonna do about it? We can't just leave them. You know what? Let's put an ad in the Sydney Morning Herald. Can
somebody
please take our
want
children?
Our kids? We don't.
No premium.
Premium.
We don't want to make. We don't care about making any money on these kids.
Yeah,
we just want to cut our losses and be out of here.
Yeah, that would change the pro-life argument a lot in the countries. I think if we were just like, yeah, we just leave them out on the curb. You know, then I mean, eventually the guy who picks up the TVs comes around. He gets the kids eventually too.
I mean, maybe that is the way that we've got to go. Maybe if, like, because there are some parents who get to the point where they're probably not in a position where they should be looking after their kids, but there's so many laws and regulations in place.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe it should just be as simple as, you know what?
Eh.
Like, put an ad in the paper.
Yeah. Yeah, I just gotta put an ad in the paper. Get that picture when we were at Cape Cod. The kids look cute then.
Right.
That's a good picture of them. Yeah, when they look real fun. Not the shitty ones. They got those shitty looks on their faces all day now.
Well, I mean, it doesn't also really sell the idea of the kids, does it, when you just go, no. Will someone please take this?
It's just that we're moving. We're moving. It's a moving thing. We're moving. We're moving.
The new place won't let us have kids. So.
They have a kid fee, so yeah. We're not going to pay that. We love them, but come on.
Yeah. For sale, guinea pigs, long-haired, handsome, various ages and sizes, cheap.
Do you want a child or a guinea pig? This is where you kind of pick your lane for life.
I actually think long-haired and handsome makes me feel like they're going to fuck the guinea pigs.
I think you're in the guinea singles.
Yeah, that might be a whole different thing. I'm not here to kink shame, but there seems to be some Fabio-style guinea pigs that have been offering for trade. Like, do you want some guinea pigs you can fuck? They are long-haired and handsome, and again, there's no questions asked. No follow-up questions.
No doubt we are in a paper where advertising guinea pig sex would just fit in fine. There is no... I mean, everything that's happened so far, you'd be like, that's fine. I mean, the guy's asking for teeth. There's no bottom anymore.
Oh,
we should probably
sadness.
Do like one more, Dave. Okay.
Mr. Moore, a clerk in Miller's Open Call Exchange, was found tonight in a shaft 160 feet deep, quite dead.
He's quite dead.
He went
dived
out.
Dived in is my first guess.
That's right. Yeah. He went out ostensibly for a walk at daylight this morning and was not seen till a tracker followed him to the shaft.
Wow.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, that's sad.
It shouldn't end on that, right?
No.
Yeah, well, here's like a pun that I don't know if is in like is completely brilliant or in terrible taste. So a tracker probably means a native Australian. Like they
use right.
a lot of the time as like trackers. So I don't know if this is like anyway, I mean this joke in the nicest possible way, but who's the black private dick who's like a sex machine with all the chicks?
Uh-oh.
Shaft.
Shaft. Quite dead. Shaft. All right, Dave, let's end on a funnier death, obviously, Dave, because it's obviously...
Yeah.
This is, by the way, I think this is the most deaths in a paper, right, Dave, would you say?
Yeah, this is a lot. We got another one right here.
Oh, great.
William McCauley, 28, who was found in a state of collapse in his house on the third instant... The result of phosphorus poisoning was charged before the Central Police Court on a charge of having attempted to commit suicide. The evidence showed that the accused had admitted to Sergeant Crimmin on the way to the hospital that he had drunk some water in which the heads of a box of wax matches had been dissolved.
Wow.
What?
So he was like sulfur poisoning?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a thing?
I don't know. I guess maybe not. That was probably part of the thing. They're like, you know, that doesn't work. He's like, I feel sick, though. I don't feel good. Yeah, you drank matches. That was really
not
smart.
I'm going to barf.
My buddy told me if you drink matches, you die. Okay.
And officially, guys, considering the poison was in water, this is, again, water cop's jurisdiction. I just want to make the argument. If the crime was committed using water, it is ours to investigate.
It's water. That does fall in the water jurisdiction. So, CIS, water.
All right, so three youths.
CIS.
No, that's what we call it in Australia.
It's all white guys. Just white, straight guys.
Very traditional.
CIS New Orleans.
Three youths named William Lowe, James Evans, and William Gromo, who annoyed the people of Little Hay Street on Sunday by jostling and throwing stones, appeared before Mr. Addison in the Central Police Court yesterday and were each sent to jail for 24 hours.
Wow. For
what in the fuck just happened? Jostling and throwing stones.
Jostling. That's Little Hay Street. That's the game, baby. You know.
Is that the game?
Yeah. By the way, what you read is just like a little novel. A tiny novel.
But also, like, Little Hay Street entirely composed of people who live in glass houses. So throwing stones, right, a much bigger issue in that part of the world than in some...
You boys are throwing stones in glass houses. Sure you're supposed to do that? What about let he cast the first stone? You kids. You're lucky the unit isn't underwater. They would throw the book at you. It would take forever to get there, though.
Who was it, Sarge? Just some teenage stoners.
Yes. You guys getting stoned? All right, I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
By the way, it's Little Hay Street, so it's like for the children.
Yeah.
This is what you expect. It's not like Hay Street. Go to Hay Street if you don't want to be jostled and stoned.
This is Little Hay Street.
We're
just doing little things here. Like,
yeah, we're the little rascals.
We're just sitting around reading some little novels.
Just funning.
We actually just made a little diving pool for the local circus.
Don't use that. They wanted. Don't use that. No, hold on. Ah, shit. All right. Well, lovely. Well, Will, thank you very much for joining us on a podcast not at all associated with the other one you mentioned earlier. Is there anything?
I don't even
remember what it's called. Is there anything that you would like to promote aside from Tofop and Fofop? Anything?
So I have a little podcast network, and it's Tofop Fofop, Two Guys One Cup, which is an Australian football adjacent podcast, but it's just nonsense. And I have a podcast called Willosophy, where I have like kind of in depth conversations with people about life,
meaningful
and the world
conversations.
And all those sort of
yes, I listen
sometimes.
To Josh, you told me about your Josh Earl episode, and I listened to it. It was very good.
Your podcast network. Cross streams is what they call it in the Ghostbusters world. When you had a fofop host,
yes,
that's a hofop.
Shouldn't be the fofop host fofop, because fofop was created because he was no longer a host. You could have opened a wormhole by having Charlie host that podcast.
Yeah,
I mean, there is a possibility, because like I did 330 episodes of it, something, because yes, he left the podcast originally, that's why it started, but now he's back and I'm busy, so he's hosting every second week. That's basically what is happening.
It's interesting how it's shaken out.
So funny.
It is what it is, probably the most changing, evolving podcast, I would say. Yeah. It's got many forms. Yeah.
We have a tiny little world that is hard to understand from the outside, but if you go to tofop.com, it all makes sense internally.
And it's lovely, and it's a lovely place to spend some time. All right, thank you so much, Will. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Some of these days, you'll miss me, honey. Some of these days.
Oh, yes, it's Gareth. Not Gary, stop it. Gear Force, listen, I've got a bunch of stand-up shows coming up, and I want to see you there. We can hug. I will be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Then I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, June 18th. I will be at Nashville, Zanies, June 19th. I will be in Huntsville, Alabama, June 20th. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, June 21st, June 22nd. Then I will be in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, June 26th, then I'll be in East Providence, Rhode Island, June 27th. Then I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts, and Boston, June 28th. That's two shows. I will be in Springfield, Massachusetts, June 29th, Rochester, New York, June 30th, and then July 5th through the 6th, Canada, I've heard your prayers, and I will answer them. I will be in Toronto. So come join me at the Comedy Bar. Go to GarethReynolds.com for tickets and information. That's right, Gear Force. We're calling you up. It's the big time. The big leagues. This went poorly.